Blessing. Praise the Lord. Happy Sabbath, everyone. Do you hear me? Mic check. Okay, thank you, thank you. It's weird because I can hear other, the WTPR and other room. Okay, but anyway, before we start, I want to invite you to pray, and please kneel if you can. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you once again for allowing us to gather this Sabbath day. To strengthen one another with your holy words. Thank you, Father, for blessing the children and the adult study earlier. So amazing how you move with your children. And please continue to be with us through your Holy Spirit. And please speak in our hearts through your holy words that we are about to hear. Please guide my tongue as I will speak in your behalf. And please give us understanding heart to know your will and apply it in our lives. And Father, forgive us for all the sins we have committed against thee and cleanse us. For we ask all these things in the name of our loving Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, amen and amen. I'm so happy because really, I was really praying about the topic I'm going to share because I already prepared some. But I told Pastor Nick, I have two studies right now, but I'm still praying what the Lord will give me. So now I know why the Lord impressed me this, because the study, the adult study, and everything, it's matching up. It's all in the places, really. Praise the Lord. So our topic is actually about examination. You know, it's entitled "Examine Yourselves." By the way, today is June 8, 2024 for those who are in the radio, WTPR. Days late. Okay, let's start. Our records in heaven are being examined now, no? But we don't know whose name is being called. And we must not take our own salvation for granted. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. This duty is divinely imposed on us and is really extremely important as we approach the coming crisis. We must thoroughly examine and understand the condition of our spiritual health. We have to know, our weaknesses, our defects, in order to overcome them and know what improvements we need to make in order to inspire us to advance to holiness. Yes, you must be true to yourself, to your neighbor, to your God. And how can we do that? In Spirit of Prophecy, Review and Herald, February 14, 1893, paragraph 4. Review and Herald, February 14, 1893, it says here, in order to understand your condition, it is necessary to study the Bible and to watch and to prayer. So here we go. God has given us instructions on how to understand our condition. Number one, by studying our Bible daily. Why? Because in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, it's very familiar text. It is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness that we may be perfect. Number two, in order to understand our condition is by watching and praying always. As found in Luke 21:36, so that we may accounted worthy and stand before the Son of Man. I know, this is very basic and easy to say, but the question is, are we doing it sincerely and consistently? How much time do you spend in studying the Bible each day? 5 minutes? 30? 1? Or 2 hours? How many times do you pray each day? Do you keep a regular schedule? Are they part of your daily routine? Are you learning each day and growing to perfection as a Christian every day? Well, only you alone can answer that. You see, the Bible gave us examples, like the noble Bereans in Acts 17:10-11. They searched their Bible daily to see if the doctrines they heard were in accordance with the Scriptures. The best way to keep our mind from error is to be in constant searching and studying of His words. This is our guide. This is the test of our piety, holiness, and truth. This is the rule of our faith, our experience, and practice by which all our feelings, all our actions should be compared and tested. In fact, you know what I love about this remnant church? Is that every member, they know their Bible and does not depend on their ministers. Amen. Praise the Lord. And of course, your minister should expect their sermons or teachings to be examined in this way. That's why, you know, we have published and posted our sermons and studies on our websites. Go to POGM site for you to review them later. We have the audio, like the Bereans. So examine them by yourselves. And with respect to praying, we also have examples from David, from Daniel. They kneeled and prayed 3 times a day, morning, noon, and at night. You can read that in Psalms 55:17 and Daniel 6:10. We have proof and evidence. And moreover, we have a perfect example. Jesus, our dear Jesus, who is always found praying, always, all the time, evening and morning even, He continued all night in prayer to God. Go to Matthew 14:23, Mark 1:35, and Luke 6:12. I'm going to read Luke 6:12. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that He went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." So, when you are dealing with pressing situations, so stressful, when important duties is lying ahead, or unusual challenges, what you gonna do? We should seek heavenly favor and direction by prayer. Set aside a large amount of time for supplication. Don't be like just, you know, it's very common now to text, a simple text, right? It's like, okay, I'll just send a quick text to God, and that's it. No. It's not like that. Even if we spend the whole night in prayer, it should not be labeled as excitement, or some they are saying fanaticism. Oh, wow. Our Savior did it. Men of the world, look at them. They often spend the whole night planning for business gain or diversions. And should it be strange for us, for Christians, to devote the same amount of time to the far more important business of religion? That's why fathers, mothers, make your home a house of prayer by gathering your children for morning and evening worship each day. Fortify your family against the enemy. In Manuscript 51, 1901, paragraph 1, it says, "Closely criticize the temper, the disposition, the thoughts, words, inclinations, purposes, and deeds. How can we ask intelligently for the things we need unless we prove by the scriptures the condition of our spiritual health? So, closely examining our heart and how we feel about God. Because in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is above, is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So we must guard ourselves against self-deception, which is caused by incorrect judgment of our spiritual condition. So, in other words, self-examination is the best way to overcome self-deception. You know, men have always been prone to deceiving themselves about their characters. They're calling good evil and evil good, and they behave accordingly. So that many people live and die who are self-deceived. But self-deception is not limited to the ungodly. Because throughout history, no, majority of professed Christians have been deceived about their true characters. Like, for example, the Laodicean Church in Revelation 3:17. Yeah? They were deceived. They were deceived regarding their spiritual condition. No? But, they are saying, I am rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing. When in fact, they do not know they were wretched, miserable, poor, and blind and naked. Many professed Christians are infected with this disease. Disease, you heard me right. The disease of Laodiceanism. In 2 SG, Spiritual Gift, Volume 2, 226, we are told, 2 SG 226, professors of religion are not willing to closely examine themselves to see whether they are in the faith. And it is a fearful fact that many are leaning on a false hope. It would be more pleasing to the Lord if lukewarm professors of religion had never named His name. See, remember our study about profession versus possession? They are a continual weight to those who would be faithful followers of Jesus. They are a stumbling block to unbelievers. And evil angels exult over them and taunt the angels of God with their crooked course. Look at these Christians, how they walk. They seem like us. The worldling saying, Satan laughed. And such are a curse to the cause of home, at home or abroad. They draw nigh to God with their lips, while their heart is far from them or from Him. Very sad. Many will continue to deceive themselves until the day of the Lord. When many will say in Matthew 7:22-23, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, they are thinking they have a right to His favor because they have prophesied in Thy name. In Thy name they have cast out devils. They did wonderful works, but what did Jesus tell them? He will profess to them, I never knew you. It's a terrible word. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The only cure for this illness of self-deception is to take the spiritual eye salves that we may see. This is what we are told in verse 18, Revelation 2:18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salves, that thou mayest see. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. And the third person of the Godhead is willing, very willing to help us in seeking the truth and searching our hearts. And we will see our faults instantly for our good. Pray! Yes! Let us pray for the Holy Spirit to help us discern our true condition. Self-deception is impossible when examining ourselves is diligently, faithfully, and persistently carried on. We have to inquire. Ask ourselves. Have I spent today trying to please myself and just have fun? Or have I made others happy? Have I inspired others to love God and value eternity? Have I practiced my religion at home and revealed the grace of Christ in my words and actions? And to the young people, you inquire, am I honoring my parents in the Lord and keeping the fifth commandment? Have I gladly performed my daily duties with sincerity and helping others? Have I kept my lips from speaking evil or falsehood? Have I honored Christ, my dear Savior, who gave His own precious life so that I could have eternal life? So, all of us, all Christians, all of us should be encouraged to review strictly and regularly the foundation of our hope for eternal salvation. In 1 Corinthians 11:28, but let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Every time before we partake the Lord's Supper, we must examine ourselves to see if we have a true sense of sin, sorrow, and repentance. Otherwise, it will only be an outward form. Because there may be a tendency in us to interpret remorse or a sense of guilt as evidence of true repentance, right? But many have been convicted of their sins. They feel the guilt. But the problem is, they never truly repented. They say sorry outwardly, but they never produce true fruits of repentance. Because talk, you know, words is just a cheap fruit. Saying sorry is easy, but the Lord requires the action, the fruits. That's why in Matthew 3:8, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. In 5:641, but the examples in God's word of genuine repentance and humiliation reveal a spirit of confession in which there is no excuse for sin or attempt at self-justification. So, self-examination is an unpleasant duty to many hearts. There are so many obstacles, like pride and deceitfulness of hearts. There's a tendency to look for our defects with complacency. It's okay. It's easy to listen to enemy suggestion to divert the mind from this work. Excuse yourself. You allow yourselves to be absorbed with the cares of this life, with the faults of others, and other subjects of secondary importance. Many ignore and disregard it. However, despite these obstacles, we can know and should know ourselves. Because in Psalms 26 verse 2, it was posted here, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me, try my reins and my heart." We won't know how much love we have until we are proved. Okay? You can say, okay, I love God, I love my neighbor. But when the Lord asks us to do something truly difficult, you know, "Take my yoke upon me," he said. "If you want to follow me, take up my cross." Sometimes something that will cross our way, our willingness to obey Him will reveal how much we love Him. That's why, again, we may utter love to God or even to our neighbor easily. Because of the blessings we receive from them, but we can tell whether we love them more or with perverted love when we are denied of temporal or spiritual blessings. See? We are dull-minded. As we examine and criticize ourselves, we also ask the Lord to examine our hearts. The word, you know, the word "examine" means to try, to prove. And it applies to metals like, you know, gold or silver who are exposed to the intense action of heat. That's why in Jeremiah 9:7 and Zechariah 13:9, Jeremiah 9:7 and Zechariah 13:9 says, "Therefore thus saith the Lord God of the Lord of hosts, behold, I will melt them and try them." It says, "I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried." So prove your own selves. Put your faith to the ultimate test to see if it can endure. Like, for example, see, a man who wants to test an axe to see if it is sharp and good, he does not sit down and look at it. He's not just contented of staring on this axe, nor he goes to read all the books or watch tutorial videos which he can find on the axe making for the properties of iron and steel, although these are valuable information. But instead, what he do? He takes his axe, and he goes to the woods to test it. And if it cuts well, if it does not break, and does not become dull quickly, he knows the quality of his axe better than any other way. And you know, the Lord has likened us to axe and weapons. In Jeremiah 51:20, it says, "Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. For with thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms." Yes, the gospel truth is a message of peace, you know. But it is also the sword of the Spirit which we hold, that we must proclaim to all the world. either by pen, by voice, and whatever means. But the problem is, for these people, the truth hurts. So instead of loving the truth, it brings hatred and strife to those who go against it. They reject this truth. And we have this cutting message, the harvest message that will bring crisis to the world. So if you want to know how valuable your religion is, you should try it in the places where religion is valued and where the gospel is needed. Whether at home, if you're a student in your school, if you're a worker in the office, or in your neighborhood, go ahead! Use it in the real world! Don't stay in a four-world corner. Go out and try to do good. To endure affliction cheerfully. To fight the errors and follies of life. To warn sinners of the error of their ways. And to preach the gospel for the conversion of the world. And then you will quickly learn how valuable your religion is. Just as easily as you can test the qualities of your acts. So don't just simply sit down and think and compare yourself with the Bible and look at your own heart. Okay, don't get me wrong. Yes, examine yourselves, and that is beneficial in many ways. But again, treat your religion, your faith, and your devotion to God as you would like any other, and expose yourself to actual experiment by proving His words. Remember, we must have a habit of trusting faith to pass through the time of trouble. We have this study about simple faith, simple trust, like the birds. Genuine faith allows us to follow in the footsteps of the apostles or the great master himself by doing good. So, genuine religion enables you to endure persecution in Jesus' name, to bear calamity without complaining, and to submit to long series of disappointments and persecutions for Christ's sake. That's why in 1 Peter 3:14, it says, "But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." See? Because that's the anyone us to be afraid. The enemy wanted us to be afraid, to be scared. God may allow you to be tried and persecuted for His sake, but this won't harm you in the end, but rather it will benefit you. That's why in James 1:27, we are familiar with this text. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. The apostle does not say that this is the full scope of religion. No. That there is nothing more than is necessary, but rather, his overall goal is to show that religion will lead to a holy life. And he uses this as a model, as an example of what it will lead us to do. In fact, he specifies two over here. Number one, pure religion will lead to a life of practical charity or love. Number two, It will keep us unspotted from the world. We have a song, Separate Me from This World, Lord. It's a really beautiful song, full of wonderful messages. So we have to be separate from its maxims, temperaments, customs, and practices. And if these things are found, if we still conforming to this world, it shows that there is no true piety or devotion. We cannot have a true religion until we commit fully our hearts to God and love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Yeah, praise the Lord. Unspotted means unblemished, untarnished. So holy, clean, pure. Because the world today is no more conducive to the development of Christian character than in Noah's day. In fact, the wickedness became so widespread that God said, I will destroy man, according to Genesis 6, 7 to 9. Read it for yourself. Genesis 6, 7 to 9. God said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. Because of corruption. But despite the corruption of that degenerate age, Noah was a delight to his creator. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Because he lived a perfect life, Noah walked with God. So, dear brothers and sisters, we are now living in the last days. In an age of sin and corruption, look, there's so many unjust laws around us. That's what Pastor Nick commented earlier in his study. You must be prepared. And like Noah, we are to live perfectly in such a way that we shall be a pleasure and delight to God, showing forth the praises of Him, according to 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. You are special, unique, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who had called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Christ prayed to His Father soon before His crucifixion. He was praying in John 17:15. I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but Thou shouldest keep them from the evil. In Manuscript 20, September 25, 1887. Christians will not be the slaves of passions. They will be controlled by the Spirit of Christ. When they get into perplexity, they will not lose patience and faith and hope. The Lord Jesus has helped us out of peril and oppressive difficulties and perplexities hitherto, and He can help us out of our present trials. We are not dependent on our emotions. We must lead a life that is distinct from that of the world. There must be a separation line. The worldlings or unbelievers have a low standard of living, right? Because they have no appetite for spiritual things. Look, this Sabbath day, where are they? They're either what? Having fun in a beach or pleasure, working, absorbed with the cares of this world, not thinking about heaven. But those who have God's love have life, and their hope is centered in Christ rather than the world. That's why in 1 John 5:12, it says, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." So those who believe in Christ take their motivation and characters from Him in whom they believe. In Psalms 139:23-24, we have a scripture song on this. Psalms 139:23-24, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." The idea is, search me thoroughly. See what they are. Examine not only my outward behavior, God, but also what I think about. What is my purpose? What are my goals? What goes through my mind? And what occupies my imagination, my memory? What secures my love and controls my will? So, let us pray. Let's sincerely pray that God will search our thoughts, because only He knows everything. He knows everything. Our mind is so reflective and discriminating in worldly things, right? So also, that can also happen in the spiritual. Look at Peter. Three times he was asked by the Lord, "Do you love me?" In John 21:17. Peter said, "Lord, the third time, Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love Thee." See? He knows the heart of Peter. How about Ezekiah? In Isaiah 38:3, and said, "Remember now, O Lord, I beseech Thee, how I have walked before Thee in truth, and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in Thy sight." And Hezekiah wept sore. See? Hezekiah here, he could appeal to the Lord that he had walked before Him in truth and with perfect heart, because he had done which was good in His sight. Even John, 1 John 3:14, he says, "We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." And Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote in Romans 8:16. Romans 8:16, it says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." God's promise is that you could know yourselves. You could know your character, your principles, your conduct. This proves that we Christians can discern and know our true character. But unfortunately, many Christians, professed Christians, they doubt their attachment and connection with God and Savior. And such was not the case with the apostles, with the early Christians. In 2 Timothy 1:12, 2 Timothy 1:12, it says here, "For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. See, this is the language of the Bible. I know whom I believe. In Romans 8:10 it says, Romans 8:10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. To be in Christ is a common mode in the Bible to express our Christian identity. It is a language derived from the close union that exists between the Redeemer and His people. That's why to be a Christian is to be Christ-like. Except you have a reprobate mind. In Romans chapter 1:28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. We know the word reprobates. It means not accepted or rejected. Something that will not stand trial. That's why it is properly applicable to metals which have not passed, you know, the quality control. They will not bear the test where they are exposed and will be found to be base or adulterated or contaminated. And the implication here is that people can know that they are Christians unless their religion is base or false, corrupted, or incapable to bear the tests. So, we must have time to give attention to ourselves with regard to our faith, since there will be a consequence if we do not. In Manuscript 16:18-90, those who have no time to give attention to their own souls, to examine themselves daily, whether they be in the love of God and please themselves in the channel of life, will have time to give to the suggestions of Satan and the working out of his plans. Satan will insinuate himself by little wedges that widen as they make a place for themselves. The special devices of Satan will be brought into the special work of God at this time. But in 2 Corinthians 2:11, it says here, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So, we are not ignorant on Satan's devices because we have a spiritual eyeglass that allows us to detect his traps. The discernment, the heavenly discernment. So, let us be vigilant in removing all opportunities for Satan and his minions to harm or criticize the gospel of Christ through our carelessness and indifference. In Psalms 34:13-18, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. So, here are the rich and bountiful promises of God. On the condition, see, the promise that all the promises, all the threatenings of God are upon condition. If you stop doing evil and start doing good, we can claim His promise. Set high goals for yourself in life. Like, you know, Joseph, Daniel, like Moses did. Take into consideration the cause of character building and then build for time and eternity. Because we are weak, without wisdom. But in James 1:5, God said to us, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Only learn to be accurate. Never lose your hold on God. Endure in His service, and you will be an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb. In Review and Herald, February 28, 1907. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Some conscientious souls, on reading this, immediately begin to criticize their feeling, their every feeling and emotion. But this is not correct self-examination. It is not the petty feelings and emotions that are to be examined. You know, because, let me stop there. Because our emotion, you know, is changing. It doesn't mean that I'm happy, the Lord is here with me, and I'm sad, the Lord is gone, He's not in my life. No, it's not. Let's not depend on feeling and our emotion. See, if God is an emotional God, we will not be saved. So the life, the character, is to be measured by the only standard of character. What is that? It is God's holy law. The fruit testifies to the character of the tree. Our works, not our feelings, bear witness of us. So we have work to do, brothers and sisters. Christ is sending His 11th hour workers today, all of us, to do the same work He came to do. Holiness is wholeness with God. It is lifting the cross in doing the will of God. Individually, we must have a living experience with God. And let me read this last quotation, two paragraphs, 1 T 262 and 263. The time has come when those who choose the Lord for their present and future portion must trust in Him alone. Everyone professing godliness must have an experience of his own. The recording angel is making a faithful record of the words and acts of God's people. Angels are watching the development of character and weighing moral worth. And those who profess to believe the truth should be right themselves and exert all their influence to enlighten and win others to the truth. Their words and works are the channel through which the pure principles of truth and holiness are conveyed to the world. God requires of us to exhibit to the world in our character and works that measure of the spirit of union and oneness which is in accordance with the sacred truth we profess and with the spirit of those prophecies that are for fulfilling in these last days. The mark of the beast is soon to be enforced. So, it's being fulfilled. The truth which has reached our understanding and the life which has shone on the soul will judge and condemn us if we turn away and refuse to be led by them. And last paragraph, 1 Timothy 2:63. What shall I say to arouse the remnant people of God? I was shown that dreadful sins are before us. Satan and his angels are bringing all their powers to bear upon God's people. Soon we're going to be, we will be treated as lawbreakers or terrorists. But it's not in the sight of God. Satan knows that if they sleep a little longer, he is sure of them. For their destruction is certain. And I warn all who profess the name of Christ to closely examine themselves and make full and thorough confession of all their wrongs, that they may go beforehand to judgment and that the recording angel may write pardon opposite their names. My brothers, my sisters, if these precious moments of mercy are not improved, you will be left without excuse. If you make no special effort to arouse, if you will not manifest zeal in repenting, these golden moments will soon pass, and you will be weighed in the balance and found wanting. Then, your agonizing cries will be of no avail. Again, my dear brothers and sisters, closely examine yourselves whether you are in the faith. And if you haven't yet begun this duty, please do it immediately. Do not be overwhelmed by the magnitude of the work. Begin now by taking the first step. This will prepare for the second and so on. And the way will open before you as you progress. And if you have already begun this work of examining yourselves, keep it going cheerfully and perseveringly by God's grace to sanctification and perfection of character. Please, do not fail your test. I hope and pray you are blessed this Sabbath day.
Share the strength that keeps. to change my life better. Try to flush my tears away. I am lost. I ask it come back to me. Lord, my faith and trust in you. Renew my heart with your command. Forgive my doubt, hate, and sin once again. Separate me from this world, Lord. I've done so much wrong. I don't want anymore. The love the world can share is not enough. Give me your love. Give me your strength. The love that we can share. The strength that we can do. Knowing this inside my heart, my soul. Try to change my life. Away. I am loved, I have been called back to me. Before my faith and trust in you, renew my heart with your command. Forgive my doubt, hate, and sin once again. Forgive my doubt, hate, and sin once again.
Amen. Let us pray. We'll close our service. We'll pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to live a pure and godly life. We want to show the world that we are your true children who will meet you face to face when you come soon. Father, help us to apply the truth we learned in our lives. Please continue to give us grace to overcome the trials and temptations that come our way. Help us to examine ourselves. Help us to be strong in the faith, possessing our Lord firmly in our heart. Please, Lord, bless your church. Bless your church around the world that we will all continue to be united in truth and in love for you and for one another. We especially pray and uplift to you our dear sister Lee, because he's having immune issues. She's having immune issues and in pain right now. Please, Lord, heal her. You are our great physician. Please help her, Lord, to fix the things that she needs to fix in her in all aspects. In our lives. Grant her peace and more faith to lean on you. And also, Lord, we humbly ask that you shower us today. Please, Lord, we ask the large measure of the latter rain that you have promised to your church. We need it, Lord. We want to be perfect in your sight. And this day, Lord, be with us for the remainder of this Holy Sabbath day. Help us to guard the edges of the Sabbath as well. And bless our prayer and study meeting later. And SDR children study later too. So again, Father, we ask for forgiveness. We seek your mercy. For we ask all these things in the name of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.